Leading off with the big story of the day, here's The Drive with Zach Bye and Denver, Colorado's own Philip Lindsay.
Who win it now?
Happy Friday to you. Hour number one in the books. Lickety split. And hopefully you're having a good day. Thanks for making us a small part of it. Phil, are the Broncos caught between a rust and a hard place?
I'll tell you what, they're going to be a little rusty this year.
You know? Hey, you want to know what? Like, everyone is assuming that the Broncos are not going to be very good. But, and we'll see what the roster looks like. We'll see what, after the draft, we'll see what how everything shakes out. But in terms of, like, giving the Broncos this just incredible pass to suck this year, I'm not on board with that.
You're not liking it.
Because you made this move. When I say you, Sean Payton made this move. Now, George ultimately inked Russ in the contract. We know all this. But Sean took this job with Russ in the fold and moved on from Russ, knowing that the Broncos were going to be gashed in a way that no other team in NFL history has before from a cap standpoint. But you did it because that actually gave you a better chance to win. That's what you told us, that it gave you a better chance to win. Okay, so this is the NFL. This isn't like 3 and 4 year plans. Like, so,
But he bought himself time. He's so smart. He's so smart because he bought himself time by one, doing that with Russ, but two, by just gutting the whole entire roster out. The only person that is left, to be honest with you right now, is Courtland Sutton. And we're going to see what happens with that.
Yeah.
But now everybody, all the fans are sitting here saying, you know, this is something that had to be done a long time ago. Like, he's finally doing it. He's finally doing something that we wanted done. If we're going to just do it, let's do it. Not keep patching things together. Here's the kicker, though. Sean Payton had no choice but to do it.
Right.
And we're sitting here, and I understand what you're saying, because we're sitting here, you know, praising what he is doing. And I know Sean doesn't want to do it. Sean's older. Sean wants to come in and win right away.
Yes.
But because of what George has done, George has put everybody in that bind. Let's be real.
Yes.
Sean has the opportunity to put his stamp on it, but it's going to take him time, which now everybody is okay with, I guess, because Sean is gutted everybody out.
Well, and we have to be okay with it because we're not in the driver's seat of this thing.
Yeah.
But I just want to, like, just re-emphasize it to myself. Sean inherited this situation. He wanted this job. He took the $90 million from Greg Penner.
Yeah.
And he did expect to win this year, this past year, and went on record as saying such. Now, they fell short. But you said you benched Russ at the end of the year to give you a better chance to win, to give you a spark. Yep. And you're moving on from Russ because that option of moving on and this gash gives you a better chance to win. So I feel like we're getting out ahead of things and giving them a free pass with the expectation of losing, but we're here because this option that we're on, this road, actually gives you a better chance to win according to the guy making the decision. So I just, I hope I'm not like talking in circles
I think it would make more sense, Zach, if we would have been a little bit more aggressive in the
free agency. Yeah.
But because we are not, I think that's where you're coming, that's where I'm coming. It's like, where are we going? We don't have draft capital. We don't have a lot of draft picks. So who are we going to go out there and get? I know that they had to save a lot of money for the Russ situation. That's why they're going to put $53 million down this year, which is a smart move.
Yeah, I like that.
For the rebuild, right?
I like that.
But for this year, I'm with you. I don't want to sit there and have a pass of every time we turn a game on every Sunday and watch this game, we're just getting our butts whooped. There's not going to be no Monday night games.
No.
You know, maybe one Thursday night game because the NFL's making you. But so every Sunday at 2 o'clock, we're going to sit here and watch a butt whooping. That's what it feels like at this point.
Yeah, but I don't like that. Like, going in, this is the NFL. This isn't the NBA where you just tank in advance. This is not what this is. So I'm telling you, because it's easy for us to say in the middle of March, like, Broncos won't be very good. But I'm telling you, when we get to September, there will be expectations once again because the Broncos are an NFL team with a Super Bowl winning head coach who believed moving on from Russ was a better plan to win. So if they're getting their ass whooped every single Sunday, I'm not going to be coming in here and saying, well, this is what we signed up for. So gee golly, like this is how it's supposed to go. No, I'm not. This is Sean Payton's operation. This is the route you chose. Okay, perfect. Let's move forward. I'm sure the Broncos aren't going to be great this year.
Yeah.
You can kind of see that developing. But at the same time, this just like free pass of like.
They need to be competitive. Now, and that's what I was kind of telling Matt yesterday, where Matt was kind of explaining to me what they were going to do and why they're doing it. My biggest thing was, all this is supposed to be like this if we go and get that quarterback.
Yeah.
If we don't go and get a quarterback this year because there's nobody there,
right?
Which is what it's looking like at this point.
And guess what, Phil? There's one less from the point we started this conversation. Because Kamaje just said in my ear, Jimmy Garoppolo is going to the Rams. We know Jimmy
G. Feels great, baby.
Well, that's not like some inspiring name that's going to like light a fire, but it's another option gone. And Phil, I don't know what they're going to do.
In the draft, you have people speculating that the Giants are getting ready to move up, okay? And everybody thinks that we're going to get J.J. McCarthy. Well, guess what? If we want J.J. McCarthy at this point, we're going to have to move up to the top four, you know, 1, 2, 3, or 4. And it's not going to be 1 or 2. Maybe 3, maybe 4, but then you have to give up draft capital that we do not have.
Yes.
To build a young team, did the Denver Broncos stub their toe? That's kind of the question right now with the free agency situation.
I do not believe when they went about on this course that was set, really, I mean, shoot, you could go back to whenever the initial conversation was had with Russ. That move your trigger, or you can go back to the backstretch of the season. You could go to the start of the offseason. But whenever they set out on this course that they're currently on, I do not believe they forecasted this.
I don't think so.
Where the first wave and damn near second wave of free agency in terms of quarterbacks is behind us, there's no wave left for quarterbacks. And with the draft, I mean, you're obviously spot on. Is that the way things have moved, J.J. McCarthy's not going to be there at 12. J.J. McCarthy's not going to be there at 10. And it's like this idea that just pick one, anyone, I hate it. That's not a plan to me. That whatever of the 5, 6 quarterbacks are there, we'll just pick one. That's not a good plan,
well,
in my opinion.
Sean said that, you know, they're better at picking quarterbacks than everybody else.
That's what he said.
So he has a plan. Obviously, there's a plan put in place. But now it's like, okay, Sean, you have a plan, but this is the draft. Things happen. People trade up. If Sean Payton decides to trade down on draft day, that lets me know that he truly did not love a quarterback, and he was not willing to move up to get J.J. McCarthy or whoever the case may be, and he's hoping someone like Bo Nix. By the way, nobody in the Denver Broncos organization was at Bo Nix Pro Day.
Is that right?
Yes, it was. There was not a lot of GMs in general at Bo Nix Pro Day.
Interesting.
Which is, so it's like, do you like Bo Nix? Are you guys just trying not to tip your hand, you know, or do you just not interested in Bo Nix? But that's who we're looking at, like someone like Bo Nix or my guy, Michael Penix Jr., who may not even be there.
Man, I'll tell you what, let's circle back to that in just a second. The Broncos did have scouts at Bo Nix Pro Day.
Yeah, they did have 2 scouts there.
Just no,
yeah.
Like, you know, major administration.
No.
No head coach, no general manager, okay. No assistant GM. So, and that, you know, that could signal something, or it could be a smokescreen that they're purposely not sending guys like
scouts don't make the decisions.
No.
A lot of them, you know, you talk to them and stuff, and they're like, we got to go back and talk as a group, and I have to ask the head man. Was the head scout there? You know, Drew, do you know if the head scout was there?
I don't believe that the head scout was there.
Which is George Payton?
Yeah. That's another thing, yeah. You're talking about the new guy that they brought in for Norwich. Yeah. I don't believe he was there. It was 2 other names that I didn't really recognize was there.
Okay, we can follow up and maybe ask someone who is in the know intimately on that. But yeah, I do not have a good feeling as it relates to quarterback. And man, I was falling head over heels in love with J.J. McCarthy.
I know you were,
I really was. And it turns out a lot of these other NFL teams felt similarly to the point where this guy's not going to go out of the top 5.
He's
not falling. He's not, man. He's got a rocket attached to him. And now, you know, and I'm sure some folks have already heard, but if you hadn't, The Vikings acquired a second first-round pick in the form of the 23rd overall pick from the Houston Texans. So now they have the 11th pick, which is right ahead of the Broncos. But I think this move today by the Vikings is made with Sean Payton and Denver in mind, knowing that the Broncos will try to jump them, and it's given themselves another pick of ammunition to move up because, you know, and I you know, Stokes said this in the crosstalk with Josh and you and I, that like they're not acquiring a second first round pick to pick a player. They're moving up to lock in their guy, and I don't know what the hell Denver's going to do. I really don't.
Sparky.
Yeah, well, it goes back to the odds, right? We talked about it on Monday. The offshore odds have the best, and most likely, rather, scenario at quarterback with 1-to-1 odds for week one. It's Jarrett Stidham.
But nobody to sit there and compete with Jarrett. That's what kind of blows my mind, is I thought that they were going to get another quarterback for the free agency market to compete with Sparky so that we could get the best out of him, because I still want to win games.
Yeah.
I don't want to just tank.
Yes.
All right? I don't want to just sit there and tank. Sean doesn't want to just tank.
No, no. That's not what he's doing
here. He's all about legacy.
So let's check in with our guy, Mike Kliss, who's on the Johnson Auto Plaza hotline. Mike, in my estimation, and I don't think I'm being overly dramatic or exaggerating, but I just think it's another not a good day for the Denver Broncos on the heels of the Vikings acquiring a second first-round pick. They're going to try to move up. We could see quarterbacks go 1, 2, 3, 4. And I just don't know what the heck's going on. Mike, help me out.
Yeah, the Vikings are going to, for one of the top three, you know, that maybe they can, you know, I saw one scenario where they went to the Patriots at number three and the Patriots trade back. I'm not sure if that's the case or not, but maybe they got enough ammunition to go all the way up to get to number three. I would think, when you stop and think about this, are the Vikings going to trade two first-round draft picks to get the fourth-best quarterback, J.J. McCarthy, or are they going to trade two first-round draft picks to get one of the top three, which, you know, you can argue and debate, and scouts too, about who the best prospect is from the top three. So, you know, if they get the top three, maybe J.J. McCarthy's still there for Sean Payton and the Broncos to move up somewhere. We'll have to see. My guess is Sean Payton likes more than just J.J. McCarthy. I think he's looked at this quarterback draft class. I'm not sure who he likes, but I think he's probably got more than one quarterback that he thinks can be a good NFL starter. So we'll see. I mean, it's going to be a lot of talk and speculation here till April 24th, but it's going to be fascinating. But yeah, everyone took note that the Vikings definitely with that 23rd pick with Houston, that they're going to package them and move up. The question is it for one of the top three or is it for the fourth? And I would think if you're gonna move up that much, you'd want to get at least one of the top three, not the fourth.
Mike, do the Denver Broncos truly have a plan at that position in the draft? And also, with the quarterback market kind of getting out of hand, do you think that the Denver Broncos felt like they were going to be able to get one of these quarterbacks for cheaper, and that's one of the reasons why they did not jump the gun on getting someone like Sam Darnold?
Yeah, I think Sam Darnold, it was definitely a case. I see where Jimmy G just went to the Rams.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I cross him off the list. You know, I think they liked one or two more, but they had a price. And they decided not to go there. I still think there's a chance that they wind up with a quarterback to compete with Jimmy G. I'm not sure who that would be now. I'm going to have to look at the list, but, there's still a chance, but there's no doubt about it. They're focusing on the draft with the quarterback. You know, it's, I guess the one thing here where they've come down is, everyone else that's available, including Sam Darnold, who seemed to be where the guy they had the most interest in, Sean Payton likes Jarrett Stidham enough to where, you know, Stidham was going to have the edge in the competition going into the offseason. And Sean Payton, I know this is a lot of this is about, is Stidham good enough? And I think the bottom line is Sean Payton likes Jarrett Stidham better than most people do. You know, better than most people evaluating him in the media, people that saw him, you know, maybe some fans in Broncos country. Sean Payton thinks there's something there. Basically, the quarterbacks that are available this year, the Broncos look at it that they already got that quarterback last year in Jarrett Stidham. And so it's Stidham, and it's going to be whoever they draft in this in the first round, or I would think the first round now, but that's pretty much where they're sitting right now.
Mike, do you think, and I want to circle back to the Stidham conversation here shortly, but do you think the Broncos, when they discuss this, that they could be forcing the quarterback issue that we're talking about? You just referenced it, like, well, I think Sean may like more than one quarterback, and maybe you're right. But if we get into a situation here in Denver where Sean Payton is drafting a quarterback at 12 or moving up, and it's not his favorite choice, and it's his second or it's third, and it's a fourth or fifth quarterback off the board, I just wonder if they say, hold on a second. We're not going to have an arranged marriage. All these quarterbacks going ahead of our pick at 12 is just pushing down a great football player. Do you think they could pivot and say, you want to know what? Maybe we misread the market. They'll never tell us that, but we're just going to pick the best tight end, or we're just going to pick the best tackle, or fill in the blank.
Yeah, I think there's a possibility of that. I think there's a possibility of, I still think what you're talking about, a force, let's say at 12 and they're unable to move up. I can see where they, and the quarterback that they really are hoping for isn't there. I can see him trading back and trying to get that second round pick and trading back in the first round, not leaving the first round, but trading back in the first round and taking a quarterback, you know, trading back and taking a Bo Nix, for instance. And then maybe picking up a second round pick and going from there, because there is a lot of holes. I do think, it's a good chance, just like that odds maker put out, 1-to-1 chance on Stidham being this guy. You know, last year, from what I understand, Sean Payton really liked Aiden O'Connell. Aiden O'Connell was, you know, projected as a fifth round. He wound up going in the fourth round. It could be that Sean Payton is sitting on a guy he just absolutely loves, let's say, was it Minton from Tennessee, and he's waiting for him in the third round, and he likes him better than Penix, and he likes him better than McCarthy, and he likes him better than Bo Nix. You know, I can see something like that developing. I mean, I just think there's a lot of possibilities there. I do know, obviously you got to figure out this quarterback situation right now. It's Stidham but it is interesting to me that they're not panicking. They are not forcing this, and you know, they didn't give up a second round pick, you know, to make a trade for one of these guys, or, you know, they didn't pay $12 million to Sam Darnold. So they're not panicking about that, and I find that interesting that they're not forcing it. They're kind of playing this like they have, you know, almost like they have a legitimate number one quarterback, and they, you know, it doesn't really matter who their number two quarterback is. That's how they're playing it, and so
scary.
Yeah,
it's scary. I mean, Mike.
It is a little bit.
Let's just say that's true. Let's just say that's true. The guy that they're talking about has won one game in the NFL. That's one more game than you or I. And you're, what you're saying could be grounded in reality. I'm not saying it's not. It's just, it's scary. The guy's played four total games ever. Like, it's scary. So
yeah, I know. And that the other side of that is, you know, let's say, and I've used this. Let's say J.J. McCarthy is their guy. You think Patrick Mahomes is going to lose any sleep if the Broncos draft J.J. McCarthy? I mean, the point is, the best of the best. They're even saying he's got a chance to be the best of all time, Patrick Mahomes. He's getting close. He's in this division, and Jim Harbaugh and Justin Herbert are also in this division. I mean, it is daunting. It's daunting, guys. I agree with you. It's it's tough to see the light right now as we're sitting here in 2024. But, maybe they understand the plan, and it's and really with the fact that they took that $53 million right on the dead cap from Russ, mm-hmm. that they are kind of set up for 2025, 2026, and maybe that is the best way to go about it. They should have done some rebuilding a few years ago. They're doing it now. It's going to take patience. It's going to take some suffering, I think, for Broncos country.
Which is all we've been doing.
Maybe it's the best way. Maybe it is the best way to do it. Go about it.
Yeah. I hope you're right. I don't have anything else to cling to. I hope you have a great weekend. And when we talk next week, maybe something will have shifted and we'll be feeling a little bit more optimistic. But in the meantime, have a great weekend. And we'll do this again next week.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right. There he goes. There's so much to react to there.
Mind blowing.
I know we mentioned Mahomes, like, hey, maybe the greatest of all times in your division, but that does not mean you don't try.
Well, you have to try. This is what you, for Sean Payton, we brought you in here on a $100 million contract to go out there and beat the Chiefs, which he's done once, right?
Yeah.
So he knows what he can do, but we need a quarterback now. We don't have a quarterback sitting in front of us. And I'm sorry to say, if Sparky is supposed to be the man, I just don't see that. I don't see Sean seeing that either. I just think that Sean's a prideful guy. Maybe they stubbed their toe thinking that they were going to get one of these quarterbacks for less. It didn't happen.
Right.
Because that cap went up. Okay. And now he's sitting here saying, what are we going to do? You have people making moves to jockey into that position to get someone like J.J. McCarthy.
Yeah.
So unless Sean Payton loves another one of these quarterbacks in the later rounds,
and
what's
that's not
happen?
To take a flyer on a guy in a later round, but that's not a real plan. And that's no disrespect to Spencer Rattler, the Tulane kid, or the Tennessee kid. Like, maybe it could work, but that's not a rock solid plan. And if you love that guy and you think he's your franchise quarterback, why are you waiting to the third round to get him? So here's what I fear is happening. My fear is that they love J.J. McCarthy and they didn't think the rest of the league would love him as much as they did. Because a month ago, no one had J.J. McCarthy going where he's now going. No one. No mock draft. And I think he's going top three. I think he's going ahead of Drake May.
But this could be something that Sean wants. Maybe he doesn't want J.J. McCarthy. Maybe he wants Drake May. And right now, Drake May is starting to crash down for whatever reason, right?
Yeah.
He was supposed to be the number three. Now I'm hearing that the Patriots may be trading to get someone like Justin Fields.
Yeah.
Then it's like, okay, maybe they want someone like Drake May. Maybe he's the one. Maybe they do want to take a flyer on someone like Michael Pratt, MPJ. They see something in him. Now, we talk about Russ, but before Russ was Russ, and then he took a dive as he got older, Russ was in the third round, wasn't he?
Yeah.
And now we're sitting here kind of saying that Russ could be one of these Hall of Famers at one point. Maybe he sees someone, one of these younger quarterbacks in the later rounds, that's going to be something special. I don't know, Zach.
Maybe. I want to circle back to this. I want to circle back to this because it's so relevant.
Yeah.
And uncharted territory. And to think as bad as things have been around here that it could get worse is scary. It's scary. The madness is getting real. What are we in store for tonight? Buckle up. It's coming up next. All right, let's come off the top rope with it. One! Tomorrow night, The Colorado Avalanche put a 5-game win streak on the line versus the Edmonton Oilers in a showdown of a two of the top four Hart Trophy favorites. It's MacKinnon versus McDavid.
Let's go. This is the difference, though. This time, MacKinnon got his dogs with him.
True. Right?
He got a new corpse of players that just arrived.
Yep.
And then his man, Val.
Yes. How about Val, man?
Let's go. Val out there with 3 games back, 3 goals.
And 2 of them in overtime.
2 of them in overtime, 1 to the face.
Just like, no, let me just use my face to score this. Man, he's catching some green lights. That's how you know. Really cool, man. Really cool. And like you said, the reinforcements are, I mean, it's all glowing across the board. I can't remember a tone. And I'm not going to play the audio right now, but I can't remember a tone from Nathan MacKinnon. We always talk about how tightly wound he is.
Yeah.
When he talks about these new guys, verbally, he's got a pep in his step. Like his optimism surrounding the additions and what's ahead of this team is awesome. It's encouraging. And so we'll see. Oilers are fantastic. 21-8-2 at home. They've won 7 of their last 9. I cannot wait for this game tomorrow.
1, 2.
How about Aaron Donald retiring out of nowhere? I mean, I guess out of nowhere for me. This was not on my radar.
I think he's been wanting to do it for a couple years. He's kind of been flirting with it. I know this. Everybody's excited for his retirement because they don't want to deal with him.
Yeah.
I've been seeing tweets out there.
I saw that.
Kyler Murray was like, thank God.
Yeah.
You know, that's when you know you've made an impact in the NFL. When people are happy for you because you're not going to be playing anymore,
yeah.
That means that you're dominant.
I think if you were doing a Mount Rushmore of the history of NFL football with defensive players, I think Aaron Donald's on the Mount Rushmore.
Hands down. That man's a beast. I remember having to play against him a couple times, Zach. It's scary. It's a scary sight.
Did he ever get his hands on you?
Oh, yeah. There was one time where he could have really just blew me up, and he did it. And I think it's because he felt bad for me because he got in. I was with the Houston Texans, and he got in so easy. Hey, who's I look? I'm going to spare you. All right? I'm a nice guy.
He's like, you're the size of one of my kids.
I was like, thank you.
Let's take it easy on you. And I'm being sincere about, like, he is one of the greatest of all time.
Yeah.
Like, I think you can make an argument he's the best defender in the history of NFL football. He's on a short list for me. Lawrence Taylor, J.J. Watt.
First ballot? He's going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer?
First ballot. Bona fide. Dude, he won. Like, think about how hard it is to win the Defensive Player of the Year. He won it 3 times. Like, that's tied with only LT and J.J. Watt for the most in NFL history. But here's what it does it for me. 8 first-team All-Pros. 8 first-team All-Pros.
I think he went to the Pro Bowl every single year.
Every single year. 10 straight. I mean, he has been just a remarkable beast. And, yeah, the last year or two has tapered off a little bit.
You know.
But, goodness, man, this dude...
So he's a first ballot Hall of Famer. Russ is a Hall of Famer. First ballot.
What does Russ have to do with this conversation?
I just had to put it in there because I know it pisses you off.
Well, it worked.
1, 2, 3.
Hey, the madness is getting real, my friend. And you're Buffaloes. I thought this group was dead in the water. And the basketball gods threw them a life.
They didn't throw it. We went and took it.
You know what?
See you down the field.
I love it, man. And so they finished the season now, or it's not finished, but they're currently riding a 7-game win streak, and they're playing their best ball of the season. A lot of it came without Cody Williams,
yeah,
a presumptive number one pick in a lot of people's eyes in the NBA draft later this year, and they're now bringing him off the bench.
I like it, though.
Because the group is playing so well without him.
Yeah, I like it. It shows a couple things. Tad's not playing around with Cody Williams. 2, Cody Williams helps us, and KJ pointed it out yesterday, it helps bring a balance, right? Having some star power on two different, like the bench, coming off the bench and the starters.
Yep.
It's just hard to beat that. And for Cody Williams, it kind of humbles him a little bit, right? Humbles him to say, you know what? I am really good, and I need to show it every night. And coming off that bench, hopefully it continues to spark something for him.
I really like that whole breakdown right there. I really do. And especially the part about Cody Williams having the humility, because I'll tell you what, like, hey, Kenny Pickett didn't want to be around the team when he couldn't play. Oh, Russell Wilson comes out. I don't want to be here anymore. Yeah. Marcus Mariota got removed from the lineup. He went home. It's like, this kid's the number one pick in the draft, and he's coming off the bench for the CU Buffs. I think with this dynamic, they have a chance to win the entire Pac-12 tournament. I never thought I'd be saying that even a month ago. It's hysterically fun. Best of luck to the Buffs. Riding that 7-game win streak, they're facing number 22 Washington State tonight at 8:30 on FS1. What a hilariously fun stagger. If you're a basketball guy like me, dude, you have the Nugs starting at 6:30. Then you have the CU Buffs at 8:30. And then you got that late night session.
Late night.
The Colorado State men's basketball team have knocked off number 23 Nevada. Nevada had a great season. 26 wins for the Wolfpack. They beat them in the quarterfinals. Freaking Jalen Lake coming off the bench for 16 points. That's the first time we've said his name this year. To lead all scorers. And there they are tonight against New Mexico at 10 o'clock this evening. I think both teams, the Buffs and the Rams, are going to be in the tournament for the first time since 2013. Wow! Over a decade since they were both in the tournament. I think that's what we're in store for. That's fun for everyone in the state.
It really is, man. Now, Zach, does my man get his jersey in the raft?
He if they wanted to put it up before the game, they could put it up before the game. I know they're not playing in FOCO, but yes, Isaiah Stevens, he's the greatest player in the history of that program. Most wins ever. Most points ever scored. Most assists ever dished out. I mean, the guy is a 2,000-point bona fide dude. Yeah, he is going to live forever in the rafters up in Mobile.
Well, Josh and Stoke think otherwise, and that's because they want to be the Grinch.
Yes.
They don't like happiness.
That's the no fun show.
The no fun show.
Oh, students storm the court, tase them.
What?
I say it's all he did is score 2,000 points and give out the most assists ever and win the most games ever. You want his jersey retired? Forget that kid.
And don't get me started about Josh coming, we got into the building, he was on the show, and he said how he hates fullbacks. How can you hate a fullback? They don't do anything but help out. They're selfless creatures. They're out there every time. Dude, you have to be crazy to be a fullback.
Right.
My boy, Andy Janovich, is one of the biggest reasons why I was successful, and my boy Josh Dover is hating on him. Man, what are we doing?
I love it. I love it. And hate it at the same time. Guys, it's that time of year again where everyone's getting ready to fill out their bracket. Well, the good news for you is that you have a chance to win 5 stacks if you have that winning bracket. I'm talking 5 G's. All right, head to denversports.com/hoops to sign up for our Sport Clips 5K Bracket Challenge. Entry closes before the first game on March 21st. Cannot wait. We're going to go head-to-head. We're going to put something on the line. I can promise you.
We've been talking about this bracket, man, since you've been gone. I said I'm going to have this perfect bracket.
Yeah, good luck, buddy. Russell Wilson won't be the only former Broncos player we'll be watching in 2024. Take a dive into that coming up next. Russell Wilson won't be the only former Broncos player we'll be watching in 2024. We're developing a list here, and Jerry Jeudy might be right at the top of it. Here's Jerry Jeudy talking about a fresh start in Cleveland.
I just want this chapter to be, better than before, so a great opportunity here to be part of a winning program, of course, to bring a Super Bowl here, so I'm just excited to be here.
Super Bowl. All right. We'll see.
He wants to feel the chill of that trophy. I feel you, Jerry.
I want to feel the chill of that trophy again.
I do not feel Jerry Jeudy. here is him talking about playing with Deshaun Watson.
I think we can complement each other real well. Deshaun, a smart, accurate quarterback that know where to put the ball for receivers to make plays. And it's going to be exciting. I've been watching Deshaun since he was at Clemson. So watching him play and being able to play with him, so it's going to be exciting.
All right, and then finally, here's Jerry Jeudy. This will really tug on your heartstrings here.
As a player, you always want to be a place that you want to feel welcome. You want to make it feel like home and want to be wanted. So, having that feeling, is great.
Wow. Good for Jeudy, man. He finally gets to be somewhere where he's wanted.
Yeah.
Unlike here in Denver, where he was the highest drafted wide receiver in the history of the franchise. They wanted Jerry Jeudy to be freaking amazing, It just never, it never panned out.
They wanted Jerry to be amazing this year.
Yeah.
That's why they're finding ways to get Jerry more involved. All right. Tailoring the routes towards Jerry Jeudy. Jerry Jeudy was getting the same amount of targets as Courtland Sutton, and Courtland Sutton was having a great year. So that wasn't the case. For Jerry, it was the off-the-field issues with the social media stuff, and on-the-field issues were be more consistent, be more productive at the time. And that's anywhere you go. And it's going to be worse if you don't do well over there in Cleveland. Believe me, Cleveland is not a place where you don't want to do well at.
Yeah.
They'll let you know that you're not doing good.
Yes, there's no doubt about it. He will hear it. He will feel it. And he's like here in Denver, he was like our guy. I mean, we had people holding out real hope in the year three, in the year four. Maybe this is the year. Maybe this is the year because he was drafted as a Bronco. And you wanted everything for him. Whatever DT ever had or Rod ever had, or like that's the type of talent that the Broncos were dealing with. But it does. It just I just have to tell you, like I like being somewhere I'm wanted. I just roll my eyes. The Broncos wanted you to be great. They wanted you to be a Ring of Famer. They with their actions showed you how bad they wanted you with their draft pick, with the picking up the fifth year option, even though the first 3 years was underwhelming. No one wanted it more for Jeudy than Denver. So I roll my eyes at it. To be completely honest,
you're still going to keep Jerry Jeudy's files.
Oh, yes. Yes, that's not going anywhere. How do you think he'll do in Cleveland? Seriously.
He should do all right, Zach, to be honest with you. They have a lot of talent over there on the defensive side of the ball. If Deshaun Watson can ever get his act together and just kind of just focus in on football, a talented quarterback. Okay, they do have a great running back, you know, depending on how he comes off this knee injury.
Yeah.
And then you have Amari Cooper, who was actually in Alabama, somebody that you can learn from. Like Jerry Jeudy can take a step back and truly learn from somebody that is a veteran presence for sure, has been in the game for a very long time.
Yep.
Jerry's just going to have to do what he can do. Get in when you fit in. Not everybody's going to kiss your butt and be all on you when you're pouting and stuff. So I'm interested to see how that dynamic is. But he's on a playoff team, Zach.
Yeah, he is. He is. And now we'll see. Now we'll see. I mean, You're somewhere where you're wanted.
Yep.
You have a it's funny because he's and I'm sure this has been discussed, but going from one of the worst contracts in NFL history to another potentially worst contract in NFL history. But you're right. There is some talent there. They have a great defense. Amari's going to be the number one, right?
Yeah.
That's still going to be the case. Even he's getting up there in age. And Amari Cooper coming out of Alabama. And I forget what draft pick he was.
He was with the Raiders.
He was the fourth pick. Yeah.
Yeah.
Amari Cooper did the things that we wanted Jerry to do.
Amari Cooper was a beast.
I mean, dude, that dude is on the doorstep of a 10,000-yard career.
Yeah.
I'm looking at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 different 1,000-yard seasons. So hopefully Jerry can learn from a guy that he has tremendous respect for. What's going on with Justin? Still sort of quiet on that front.
Yeah, I don't. Zach, truly, I do not know, man. People are looking at him as a backup. That's what I've been hearing. Where
Justin Simmons?
Or Simmons. I think he meant Justin Fields.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Even
I'm
for
sorry.
Justin Simmons.
Yeah,
I think he wants more money than what people are willing to do because the safety class is so heavy.
Right.
Last I heard that the Tennessee Titans were trying to make a run for him.
Yeah, I saw that.
Also, the 49ers, I guess, are kind of all in on Justin. They moved some money around with Kittle's contract. I wonder if that has to do with someone like Justin Simmons.
Interesting. What former Bronco would you bet on more in 2024? Justin Simmons to sustain the success or Jerry Jeudy to find big picture success?
I'm going to have to go with Justin Simmons. I think it's just consistency, right? No matter where you go, you have to be consistent in what you do. And they're going to tailor things towards what Justin likes to do. He's going to pick a scheme for him, whether it's Detroit, the 49ers. I thought he was going to the Eagles.
Yeah.
Justin Simmons is going to surround himself with winners and people that are going to rally around him. I think it's going to be Justin Simmons. What were you thinking?
I'll bet on Justin Simmons every time. But here's my biggest question with Justin Simmons. He wants to go somewhere where that's a winning situation. How bad do you want to be in that winning situation?
Mm.
Are you willing to let it hit your pocket a little bit to a degree that might be uncomfortable? Because I will look at it a little bit differently if Justin just goes to where the money is and if it's a team that's not really in the mix. But I'm curious. I'm curious of that next move. I want to see Justin Simmons be a winner and on a winning team. So we'll see. We shall see. Okay. We have a shifting dynamic here in Denver. Even since the last time me and you were on the air together on Monday, I want to shine a light on it coming up next.